Welcome to Career Tools. This week, widen your reporting. The questions this cast answers are, what are the benefits of reporting to people who are not your boss? What do you need to be aware of before reporting for others? And what's the best timing for reporting to others? So reporting is one of the most annoying things. People are always saying, do you want me to do the work or do you want me to report about it? I know I said that. I got told off because it's not a good attitude. and it's also silly because reporting is part of the work. You can't do the work or the reporting, like, because the reporting is part of the work. It's a bit like the whole, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, if you do the work but nobody knows it's done, it might as well not be done. So that's why reporting's important. But now we're going to make you do, or we're going to recommend that everybody does extra reporting, more reporting, not just to their boss, but to other people in the company. And we're going to suggest that that's actually going to make life easier. So, well, I think that'll be a surprise for some people.
Yes, we're going to talk about identifying who else needs to know, deciding on what the best reporting mechanism actually is, telling people before they ask, and being aware of political sensitivity.
That's the caveat at the end.
Makes sense.
So this guidance is for everybody who has a fractious relationship with the people they get work from or the people they work past work to, or not even a fractious relationship, just sometimes that passing of work just doesn't go smoothly. And the more you increase the communication, the more smooth that process will go, the smoother the handover. It's a bit like running in a relay race, you know, where you have to hand off the baton. If you're communicating, if you're the runner who has the baton and you're coming up behind someone who's going to grab it from you, if you shout, hey, I'm coming, then, you know, as you come around the bend, they've got some warning, right, I'm ready to go. If you don't shout, then it's much more likely that you're going to crash into each other. I actually don't know if it's within the rules to shout, but, you know, we're playing imaginary games here. But if somebody knows it's coming, it's much more likely that you'll have a smooth handover. So this is about communicating so that you can have that smooth handover, both to you and away from you.
The first thing you really need to do is identify those people, right? You need to think about who's going to benefit from knowing what's going on with your work. And the second part of it is to identify, of course, what those people need to know, what information would benefit those people. It sounds so simplistic when we say it, but I don't think it's something people really contemplate a lot overall, at least. I tend to just be kind of habitual about it and then kind of forget that, oh yeah, so somebody else probably needs to know about this. The people who most benefit from knowing what's going on with your work are the people who get their work from you, of course. Those people, those guys are sometimes described as downstream from you, right? They effectively consume your work. And this idea uses the analogy of work as a stream, which flows through the organization in a specific particular order.
And as I have just got a new house, I can give you an example. So I'm moving into a new house and I need an internet connection. So I called AT&T, I think, and let them know, hey, I want service. But the person who I talked to, the sales rep, that's not the person who puts my, you know, who comes and drills holes in the wall and whatever else they do. That person schedules a technician to come to my house. So the technician is downstream of the sales rep because the work comes to the sales rep and then goes to the technician. And then the technician comes out to my house, hopefully, puts my internet in and somehow reports that it's done. And that work then signifies to the people who do billing that they ought to stop charging me for my internet service. So billing are downstream of the technician and the technician is downstream of the sales rep. But we could also say the technician is upstream of billing and the sales rep is upstream of the technician. So there's a kind of flow. Streams progress through the company. And if you think about the work you do, often it goes in that way. It's a fairly linear process often.
Yeah. we're thinking about both sides, right? So you have to think about the people who give their work to you, those people who are upstream from you. Business analysis, those people, they give their work to the coders. Design gives their work to manufacturing. Strategy gives work to marketing and so on. And when you think about it that way, wouldn't it be nice if you knew what was coming to you and when? Wouldn't it be really great to know that the company was working on selling a new client and you're going to be the recipient of this implementation project pretty soon? I mean, wouldn't it be great to have a heads up and be able to say, have a say in the way the work comes to you, the formatting, all those kinds of things, instead of having to spend hours turning it into something you could work with, right? Like, wouldn't that be great, being able to have some influence there? Of course it would. That sounds lovely. Almost everybody, I think, would agree that that would be great, that if the people upstream of us gave us some inclination or a heads up as to what was coming, that would be a positive. You can't go around changing others, right? The only person whose behavior you can control is your own. So while we can't change how others deliver work to us, we can change the way we deliver work to those people around us. So we can be the person we wish other people were, I suppose.
Exactly.
Which, you know, it's nice. It's nice to be nice. So we're going to identify the people who you give your work to. Those are the people who to whom you will report. Sales usually gives their work to the implementation team or to accounts. Coders give their work to QA. Manufacturing gives their work to dispatch. Marketing gives work to printing, etc. So we need to think about that. We need to think about who we work with, you know, who do we report to, and could reporting your workload to them help them work more effectively?
A quick interruption with a message from Maggie. She said, if you think our guidance would be useful in your organization, we've made it very simple and affordable for us to come to your facility and deliver any of our three standard training days, effective manager, effective communicator, or effective hiring manager, to 25 to 30 people for a flat $15,000 investment. That's including our travel expenses, so nothing over. Each training day comes with a unique benefit or license. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or go to our website and put #organizations in the search bar for more detail. So now we've decided who those people are. Now we have to decide the best mechanism for getting them that information. And it's almost certainly not via an online document or that they have to visit. You're just going to put it up there and then they have to visit it. Because what we're trying to do is make the relationship easier. We're trying to do something to make their lives easier because we wish somebody would make our lives easier. And telling someone, oh, by the way, I'm putting that information up there, but you have to go visit it, that's not making their life easier. They're like, oh, great, thanks, whatever. You really need to go to them. You need to make it easy for them. Otherwise, this is pointless. And it doesn't need to be like a formal reporting document. It doesn't need to be a spreadsheet or a PowerPoint or a meeting or anything. It can be casual. It can be stopping by their cube and saying, hey, I just heard from Jane that Acme Company is due to sign tomorrow. And the company and the contract, she says business analysis only have 3 weeks to do their work. So I reckon in 3 weeks, you're going to be busy. Because if it all goes to plan, I'm going to have my code done. And in 4 weeks, that's coming to you in QA. Well, clients, anything can happen, but apparently that's the plan right now. Thought it would be helpful for you to know. I'm knowing what's coming helps your colleagues prepare, even if that's not exactly the timeline. As I just said, clients do all sorts of strange things, and customers, and even other people in other departments do strange things that make no sense to you. So the timing might be off, but it's better to know something and it be off than to know nothing and be blindsided by the work.
Even just hearing that example makes me excited to know that something, right? It's just a little bit of preparedness. There's a lot of ways we could do this. It could be an email that you send that lists what's coming up. It might be a spreadsheet that you're using to track your own work or that you're using to report to your boss that you share, that you email out. Again, not just putting the data in somewhere. You have to actually hand it off to the person. And if you don't have a great relationship, you might consider delivering this information, talking to them in person or by phone, just a little more personal, right? It's, if it's in person, that's great. If it's over the phone, at least it's verbal. It's not email, so that you can help to build that relationship. We've said it before, relationships are not built via email. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Since this whole thing, this exercise that we're going through is partially about improving your relationships, it's best to use a rich medium, which really allows for non-task related communication that builds relationships, right? If you stop by John's Cube to tell him about Acme and Jane, and he says, oh man, gosh, I wasn't expecting that. And I'm so glad you told me, because I was actually thinking about moving house or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You're taking vacation or something.
Right. And he needs to tell somebody now, right? And then now, you know, okay, next time I see him, I need to say, hey, how was your vacation? Or how did the move go? Things like that. Because it's those small things that increase relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. It's all the non-work stuff. It's the interstitial stuff. That's why being at a meeting before a meeting starts, or in meeting breaks, not disappearing, is so important, because it's those moments when, you know, you're getting a coffee, or, you know, everyone's still piling in, that you get a moment to say to someone, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, and tell me something about you. You know,
right.
If you tell them something about yourself, they'll tell you something about you. You don't have to ask the question. But then you get to know something like, oh, traffic was awful. Oh, really? Whereabouts do you live? Oh, yeah, terrible over there. It's those informal, casual, person-to-person conversations that improve relationships.
Right. It's the space for chit-chat.
Exactly. Here's an example of how this works. And I know it's an example because it's the example that happened to me. So we don't normally give recommendations that are just based on our experience, right? They have to work for lots of people. But I have told people this for 10 years, no longer. I've worked here for 10 years, for longer than that. And every person I tell, it works. So I was working in recruitment. And so I was carrying out interviews, and then the manager would choose a person. And then there is a bunch of paperwork. I was working somewhere that worked for the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. So I had to have security paperwork and references, and then background checks and resumes and all sorts of things. And I would get all the paperwork, go to security, and the girl in security would go, yeah, this isn't the right stuff. Ugh. And I'd be like, oh my God, the hiring manager is hounding me to get this person to start, and I don't have the right stuff. And she would send me away and do it over again. And one day I realized, well, I wonder what would happen if I go to her in advance. So the hiring manager would say, this is the person I want. And I'd look at the paperwork I have, and then I go up to her and, you know, go up to her desk and say, hey, this hiring manager wants this person in by this time. This is what I've got. What else do you need to see? And she would tell me. And magically, it was easy every single time. I knew what she wanted. I got it. And when I went back to her desk and said, this is what I had, she'd say, yeah, that's fine. It was astounding to me that that even worked. There's something about asking people how they want the work to come to them that makes them much more likely to work with you. And once she'd said, here's the five things I need, she couldn't then go back on it. If I came back to her desk and said, here's the five things, she almost had to say, yeah, okay, that person's approved. I was like, oh, I just found a magic trick. So now I'm telling you my magic trick. And this is what we mean by saying extra reporting will make life easier. There was nothing in the rules that said I had to go report to her that a hiring manager had decided on a new hire. But by taking the extra step, my work got magically easier. And the other thing you could do is, you know, security regulations change all the time. What I would do is go to her and say, here's the five things I have. What else do I need? And she'd say, oh, you need these three things. And by the way, next month, you'll need this fourth thing because they're changing the rules.
Ooh, yeah.
So I was the only person in the company who, when the month changed, had what I needed, because she gave me the heads up. Because we were sat together, we were talking, I was doing something to make her life easier. And so she reciprocated.
It's like magic.
Yeah, it is. It's magic.
Hey, Canada. From East to West, we're bringing our events to you. If you've been looking for an opportunity to attend a Manager Tools event without having to trek south, now's the perfect time. We'll be starting on the East Coast with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences in Toronto, March 19th and 20th. Then we'll head west for our Vancouver Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences on April the 2nd and 3rd. Register today at manager-tools.com/training, and we'll see you there.
One of the interesting things about all this, one of the things to consider, I suppose, is that we want to tell the people who need to know things before they ask. Making people come to you to find out what's going on is kind of ineffective. So much of what makes an effective manager or a productive employee is thinking about what you would want and then reversing it. People really aren't that different from you. I know it seems like they are, but they're not. If you consider the things that you would like, it's pretty good chance that they would be interested in that as well. For example, wouldn't you love to know that there's work coming your way? Of course you would. Wouldn't it be better if the person sending it to you said in advance, hey, this is coming down the pipe? Of course, right? It just makes it so much easier. Even if it's something simple, like you're thinking tomorrow will be a light day, and then somebody says, hey, by the way, you know, just so you know, tomorrow, and suddenly you know, okay, Thursday is not going to be light.
I can't think that I'm going to have a long lunch break and take an extra half an hour because I need to go to the post office.
Absolutely.
I need to move it to Friday.
I think, too, one of the things that we miss or that we don't think about for others is when you know a little bit in advance, for me, I have a different emotional response to it. It feels less stressful to me to get work that I knew was coming rather than unexpected work. If something comes in tomorrow that I didn't know about, my stress level rises. I'm immediately more concerned about my time, how I'm going to spend it, how I'm going to make sure everything gets done, and then I have to reprioritize. If I knew even 2 hours in advance, I just feel less stress about receiving the work. And so we can do that for the other people around us, for those people upstream and downstream from us. We can give them the heads up, the advance notice that might help them feel that same way, right? So in general, and specifically here, reporting should never be on the website. We all know how frustrating it is when you need to know something and you ask the person who would know and they say, oh, well, it's over there. It's like, go find it yourself. So frustrating. For some reason, there's specific departments, HR, who come to mind.
What do I do to have to get my vacation approved? It's on the website. When are we getting our bonuses? It's on the website. What form do I have to fill in to get my director raise? It's on the website. What's the rules around expenses? It's on the website.
Ugh.
No, don't do that. Instead, proactively notify the people downstream of you that work is coming and notify people upstream of you if the requirements have changed. It's like the girl who told me, oh, next month, there's an extra thing you're going to need. Magically, I was the person who had the extra thing every time. You know, if there's a new form, email it to the people you know use it a lot.
Yeah, don't send them to the website.
No, and don't tell them after they submitted the work to send them to the website to get the new form. It's just a recipe for irritation. You know, if you're going to be out for a week, let them know and tell them who's covering and what that person is able or not able to do for them. Proactive communication is how you win friends in an organization.
So true. This kind of activity really makes you and the people who work with your work, right, with your output, either upstream or downstream, a team that solves problems together, that works well together, that communicates, instead of people who just push work down or like throw work over the fence. Like, here you go, deal with this. You know, this is what people should mean when they say we want a culture of collaboration.
That's exactly right. It's me and you, despite the fact that we're in different departments, working together to get this stuff done rather than
just handing it off.
Right. You know, it's like when you call some big company and you're trying to get a problem resolved and they say, it's not my department, I'll put you through. And then they put you through and you have to say it all over again.
Uh-huh.
And then they say, it's not my department. It's that kind of Jobsworth mentality. That's so frustrating. Whereas some companies I've noticed now say, a person will say, it's not my department. Hold on. I'll get someone from the right department. I'll tell them what the problem is, and then I'll put you through. And they stay on the phone until you've got to the right person. And it's such a better experience. It's you and them trying to solve your problem together rather than them abandoning you to the, you know, press four.
Yeah. The people, or the group I know, the company I know who does this best, I think, is USAA. They're phenomenal at it. Whenever I get on the phone with them, they're so nice and they're always helping me along with the things. It feels very friendly. And this is what people, when they say, oh, we want you to collaborate, we want more communication, it's as simple as stopping by the cube and saying, hey, just a heads up. Even small stuff, when you see someone, you say, hey, by the way, I just saw an email that says that meeting's canceled, right? Just little things like that.
Yeah. Or, you know, when you, one of the things we do is when you give somebody a customer service item, which is not in their email and it's urgent or important, texting them and saying, hey, I just gave you something.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It makes it so much easier because you don't know when that person's expecting to check the queue or if they've already checked the queue. It's just so much easier to know, okay, I have something pending. And otherwise you may not know. Even without urgency, I guess, but urgency lends itself to that. But what we're talking about here is actually thinking about doing this on a regular basis, right? Increasing your communication to help people upstream and downstream of you in order to increase the strength of your relationships. And this is what behaviorally, when you say, we want a group that collaborates, this is what that means.
This is what that means. These are the actual actions, right?
Yeah, this is the thing. Get up from your desk and go down to their cube and say, hey, heads up. Not hard, right?
No, not at all hard.
It's everyday kind of stuff. And there is something we want to make sure that everybody thinks about as
the caveat, the note of caution.
The asterisk, right? We want to be aware of political sensitivity. So now that we've encouraged you to talk to your friends and the people who work in your stream, we do want to add one note of caution, right? We need to beware of political sensitivities. Think about it, like, in terms of bad news.
This is my stand-up moment. What's worse than bad news? Bad news, your boss doesn't find out from you. If your boss finds out something that you know about that's bad news for him or your department and you knew, it's 20 times worse than him just finding out from you. And even sometimes, if it's good news, and they don't find out from you, and they find out that you knew, it can be bad for you. It's, you know, if there's important information, your boss should know it first.
Yep. So let's lay out a scenario, right? Mm-hmm. You've been working really hard. You've been letting Bob and QA know when your work is likely to come his way and hit his desk. And as a result, because of this improved relationship, he lets you know that the module submitted by your team last week has a major flaw. It turns out that his boss is actually going to go talk to your boss later today. Pause for reflection.
Yes.
What should you do?
Think of the answer. And the answer is,
get on the phone to your boss right now. Tell him what is coming. Just heads up, right? If you're worried that Bob is telling you in confidence, tell him, hey, I'm going to have to call my boss.
He'll kill me if I cannot not tell him. You know,
right.
Like, hey, I didn't mean to tell you that so you could go tell your boss and warn him that my boss is calling. Dude, it's more than my job's worth for my boss to find out bad news, not from me.
Absolutely. It's just a terrible idea. You just want to give your boss a heads up and just tell Bob, hey, by the way. And we want to just be aware of this, right? So you don't want your boss to find out bad news from someone who isn't you.
And then the opposite way is you don't let the cat out of the bag. So let's put me in Bob's shoes for a minute. I know there's a major flaw with the software and my mate has been telling me when my work's coming and we're besties now. I know that my boss is going to call his boss later and tell him about this flaw. Should I have gone and told the coworker and then said, oh, it's in confidence, you can't tell him? No, because my boss, as the guy who knows about the flaw, wants to be able to control the conversation with the other boss, right? We don't want the coder's boss calling and saying, oh, my person says this one and you haven't told me, and well, you know, you Bob's boss wants to be able to control that conversation and have it have the information come out in the way that he wants it. I mean, it might not be a big deal
right.
in the end if it's all handled properly. So we try not to leak news or give other people information that puts our own bosses in a difficult position. That's another way not to win favors with your boss.
Just a little common sense.
Yeah.
It's also gossip at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, while we want to encourage you to communicate more, we are not encouraging gossip. We also don't want you to get in trouble, right? We want you to communicate and consider what could go wrong as well. Just have some cognizance around what information you're delivering and its implications and just some forethought around that. You probably want to give your boss a heads up on the increase that you're going to, the increased reporting that you're going to do because of this cast, just so that they don't find out the hard way, right?
Right. I mean, if you're going to have a casual heads up communication about information that's soon going to be throughout the organization and doesn't need to be controlled, then that's, you know, you probably don't need to worry about that. I never had a conversation with my boss about the fact that I was going to see the security lady ahead of trying to get my paperwork passed up because it wasn't really a big deal. On the other hand, if you're sending a spreadsheet or, you know, something that's more formal reporting, then you might want to have that conversation with your boss.
There's certainly no harm in letting him know.
Hey, I'm trying this new thing. So far it's working. And what's your boss going to say? Oh, you've got a better relationship with some other team? I don't approve. Like, no.
No.
So many people see reporting as a burden, but in the spirit of more communication is better, I'm confident you will find that more reporting to more people actually smooths relationships and makes you more effective. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance.